Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistant's assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Not everyone is careful with your personal information, which might explain why there's a victim of identity theft every 5 seconds in the U.S. Fortunately, there's LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year by visiting LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Nation.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to One Nation. Welcome to Sunday. I'm Brian Kilmeade. Hope you're having a fantastic weekend. It's about to get better. Coming up on tonight's show, we got Dr. Drew unwinding the sudden interest Gavin Newsom has in homelessness. He was trying to wake him up years ago. Chris Rufo, the man behind the revamp of our education system, getting rid of DEI, and also the battle with the Ivy Leagues. Also, Michael Loftus, the comedic stylings of Michael, along with the media matters, media moments that matter the most. But first, the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. And the theme this week, the cognitive collapse in a vacant White House. You know, this has been a week of international accomplishment for President Trump. Think about it. He shows America first is not America alone. Reshaping our relationship with the Middle East in real time, with dynamic stops and trillion-dollar deals. First stop with Saudi Arabia, then to Qatar.
We're dealing with really good people that have been abandoned in a way by our country and by the United States, and we're not going to abandon. We have very good friends in Saudi Arabia and in Qatar.
Yep, and the United Arab Emirates investing $1.4 trillion in the United States. It's going to help all of us, but not in oil, in the military and in AI.
We've been investing in the United States for decades, but now we're taking it one step further, not only in terms of size, but in terms of trust. And we're grateful for President Trump for that.
And they're grateful for the respect and the relationships, and I think it's going to pay off. You know, with strong job numbers that you're looking at, surprisingly high, surprised everybody, including the experts, inflation in retreat, you see that, production increasing, the economy is beginning to roll almost as strongly as President Trump's foreign policy, which makes me think, what's missing? Oh, yeah, the Democrats. How are they, dare I say, moving on or joining in with the Republican momentum? Put simply, they've been disheveled, disgruntled, and disgraceful. Yes, the party known for its discipline is cracking wide open in all directions before our very eyes. And although they'd love to blame President Trump, as usual, this time it won't fly. You can honestly say he wasn't even home during their collapse. Their plan of attack is just to attack, and it's nothing short of offensive.
So, yes, you do support an exemption on tariffs for products that are essential for families with their babies. I'm reclaiming my time. Give me my time back.
You believe this? You have the Treasury Secretary there and you just yell at him. The question for Democrats is, what are you doing? You going after Kristi Noem for rounding up, locking up, and sending out criminal illegals?
What steps have you taken to return Mr. Abrego Garcia pursuant to this court order?
It's got to be extremely discouraging to be one of your constituents. To see you fight for a terrorist like this and not fight for them is extremely alarming to me.
The letters MS and the number 13 in Times Roman numeral font, that they are doctored on this photo, right?
Congressman Abrego Garcia.
I'm just asking about this photo. Madam Secretary, I have a 7-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old. I have a bull detector. I'm just asking you, is this doctored or not doctored?
Yeah, it's funny. His BS detector, not good to find out what Fang Fang was really up to, right? Why are you talking to her like that? She is leading one of the most substantial illegal immigrant crackdowns ever that has produced a 97% reduction in border crossings. Of course, Tom Homan leading the way, and sent Border Patrol recruiting soaring. That's how you talk to her? Then these political geniuses decide to also I have another focus. They said, why don't we just storm an ICE facility in Newark, New Jersey? Yeah, that was the mayor. Do you think the American people have trouble sleeping if murderers, rapists, and thieves here illegally are living in challenging conditions? And by the way, they are not. It's pristine. Front and center now, RFK Jr. and the MAHA movement this week. Cracking down on processed food. That's what he's doing. Calling out food giants face to face. Focusing on chronic diseases. Making it the number one priority. So how do you treat him when he comes to Capitol Hill to testify? Watch.
The cuts are not true cuts. The cuts are eliminations of waste, abuse, and fraud. And I can go through. I can go through the people who will lose it. There are a million people.
I really don't mean to be rude, but as you know, I have a very limited amount of time.
You ask the question, I'm going to answer it. Congressman DeLauro, you say that you've worked for 20 years on getting food dye out. Give me credit. I got it out in 100 days. My time has expired.
Well, then so has your legitimacy.
What a clown, right? RFK seems to be the new Elon Musk with Democrats. Someone told them, you just act angry and you'll win. And my answer to my question to you is, win what? They have to fundamentally figure out what they stand for and, what's even more important, what the country needs. Some are making a legitimate effort to figure it out.
Use the word equity, use equality to your heart, little heart's desire. This is another really stupid word, oligarch. Who the f*** knows what an oligarch is?
Exactly. That's the tour that's getting a lot of people, by the way, two socialists out there running about. The worst part of the week, the full unmasking of the biggest lie to date, Joe Biden, and the fact that they were telling us that he was running the country. We knew he wasn't. Now they know we know. They lied about Biden's cognitive decline. Now they're acting surprised, even though it's fully exposed now that Joe's been deposed.
We should just be honest as a party that we made a mistake. Yeah. We should have been stronger in calling for him to run.
Are you kidding? Run. You should have pulled him out. He wasn't doing anything. This week, we saw the release of a third book by a left-wing author exposing the fact that Joe Biden was not running the country, wasn't capable of running a meeting, wasn't up to formulating or executing a policy.
There's actually an excerpt in the book where it says he forgot your name in December 2022. He called you Steve a couple of times. Did that happen?
I do not recall that ever happening. And I will tell you, Joe Biden knows my name.
Right. That's pretty good. When your national security advisor defends you by saying he knows my name, Steve or Jake, whatever. We suffered. And now they like us not to forgive, but to buy their book. Please don't. There was a cognitive collapse. It was a vacant White House. We were all in jeopardy because of it. They locked out Biden's cabinet, and everyone but his family was not allowed near him. Here's a horrifying thought, and I think it's true. Jill and Hunter were actually running the country, and the results were nothing short of catastrophic. And now it's the blame game on steroids.
The leaders of the Democratic Party, the staff of the White House, and I have to say, I find everybody now talking to these authors, get out of here. Go home. You're part of the problem. Now you tell us.
The White House was lying, not only to the press, not only to the public, but they were lying to members of their own cabinet.
I was busy working.
So you didn't
see
signs of decline?
That directly.
So you didn't see any?
I didn't see the president frequently.
Yeah, now no one ever saw the president, right? Now there are others who want to move on.
Would you want Biden to campaign for House Democrats?
We're not looking backward. We're looking forward.
We're just looking forward.
We're looking forward.
I'm interested in going forward.
I'm not. I am not moving on. More importantly, the American people are not moving on. They're not going to forget. They have yet to come clean in their four-year debacle, and I'm fed up with it, and it angers me they're trying to make money off it. Joining us now, the host of the Hugh Hewitt Show and a Fox News contributor, thrilled to have him in the family, Hugh Hewitt. Hugh, what's your reaction to what we are experiencing this week with the Democrats?
I got to tell you, I am somewhat surprised that Ro Khanna came on that little clip, because that's the one serious Democrat who's had it right. We should admit that we screwed up and that we participated in a cover-up, and we should tell people we participated in a cover-up. I think there are some smart Democrats, people like Chris Coons, Amy Klobuchar, Jared Polis. I think you can look at Josh Shapiro. You can go for public intellectuals like Van Jones. There are some smart Democrats. They should get in a room. They ought to come out together and do a mea culpa. The 25th Amendment failed. We failed you in telling you how incapacitated the president was, and we are sorry. And now we're going to move forward by doing a couple of important things. And I think, Brian, the most important thing they have to do is have a sister soldier moment with somebody that everybody in America is coming around to hate, teachers unions. And they ought to say to the, we're breaking with the teachers unions. We're going to be for your kids. We're going to be for getting back the last year and a half that we locked them out of school. We made a mistake there as well. We're going to push them out of the party, and we're going to move, not to the center, that's asking too much, but we're going to go back to being liberals, not leftists. And I really hope it works, Brian, because if it doesn't, we're going to be stuck with an AOC-led Democratic Party in 2028 that will lead to a disaster for the Democratic Party, and the country has actually benefited by two parties at work.
Exactly. But here's, they have to have one party that's for the country. And I cannot get out of my head the Russia hoax. And I cannot get out of my head the laptop that they told us wasn't real. And how dare we play into the Russian disinformation. And now they want us to believe that they were duped along with us. But I want to pivot, if I can, to the Middle East trip. To me, it's the most impactful Middle East trip, foreign trip that I've seen since I joined Fox 25 plus years ago. I thought the president was brilliant and the accomplishments were substantial. You, your take.
It's a Nixon to China trip with an asterisk. The asterisk is whether or not the big gamble on Syria pays off. I was on special report on Friday night and I told Brett, my only concern is, did we take the sanctions off the Syria ruler too soon? He used to be named al-Jalani. I haven't checked this week what his new name is, but he used to be al-Jalani. He was al-Qaeda. Now, maybe he has turned a leaf. Maybe he's working with Erdogan. President met with him. President goes. He's strong enough. Donald Trump is strong enough to deal with a terrorist leader turned Damascus leader. And Syria is a puzzle that's been broken into many pieces, and it's never coming back into one piece. So he's going to get a piece of it. So that's the big gamble. Other than that, though, it's an A plus, especially the UAE deal. $1.4 trillion you mentioned. That's not phantom. When the UAE says they're going to do something, they're going to do something. People forget Biden blew up our relationship with the UAE at the beginning of the Biden term, or Jake Sullivan or Tony Blinken did. So putting that back together again, that's little Sparta. They've gone to war with us in Afghanistan and Iraq. They have always been, along with Israel, our greatest allies in the region, and Israel's a nuclear power. UAE is not. And I think they're helping facilitate the MBS reconciliation. I'm very pleased with the trip. Just put down one asterisk on Syria, and let's pray it works out. The president says it will, and I hope he's right.
All right, just a couple of reactions from Democrats. One, it's amazing what can be accomplished when the president isn't brain dead. That, according to a senior congressional Democrat, another, a blanking brain dead, by the way. I'm the first person to say I do not agree with President Trump's policies, especially some foreign. But when it comes to showing up and showing strength and power, I think his team is doing a really good job. I'm heartened by that because he's overseas trying to do things for the country, and I think it was noticed. Just final thought, you?
That it matches his three great speeches from the first Trump term. One was in Riyadh, one was in Poland, one was in Normandy. This set the bar for Trump 2.0 very high. Kudos to him and to his entire team.
Yeah, and now we're going to focus on Iran and the Iran deal next. I hope we get that right. You, it'll have you back. So glad you're on Fox now full time, and we're paying your dental and all your health insurance. You, thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
I want to update you on the next stage of this momentous medical initiative. It's called Operation Warp Speed. That means big and it means fast.
Right. It's good to see Anthony Fauci, wasn't it? But it wasn't as fast as it could have been. Lawmakers are investigating whether Pfizer held up the COVID-19 vaccine testing until after the 2020 election. Had a tested vaccine been announced before Election Day, you would think that the president in charge delivering the swift victory undoubtedly would have benefited. Dare I say, it would have impacted the election, don't you think? But according to a whistleblower, Dr. Philip Dormeiser, they held it back. He's a former Pfizer scientist. He says the good news was it was held back and the vax rollout deliberately stalled. And at one point, he was apparently so scared about this investigation coming forward that he has to be relocated to Canada. Is that election meddling? Well, you are being investigated. And here, as outraged as I am, is Congressman Jim Jordan. Chairman, great to see you. Your reaction to this revelation, it did not catch you that much by surprise. Am I right?
No, it really didn't. The left, they'll do anything to stop President Trump or try to stop President Trump. But I think that you hit the key fact. Send me to Canada, but I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, come on. So here are the facts. November 3rd, 2020, we have the election. November 7th, 2020, Joe Biden is declared winner. November 8th, the very next day, Pfizer says, oh, the results are in. Things are great. Really? That's kind of interesting timing. And then you couple that with what we learned from this guy who left Pfizer. Dr. Dormitzer was head of research or head of testing there. He leaves Pfizer, goes to GlaxoSmithKline. 2024 election happens. Trump wins. And he says to a colleague there, hey, can you send me to Canada? Why do you want to go to? Well, it's not a coincidence, the timing of the results of the vaccine back in 2020. So we're going to dig into this and find out what we can. And we've also asked for certain documents and communications from the CEO of Pfizer, Mr. Bourla.
And you know, Jim, you wonder why the president wants to clean out every division before he takes over. He was president of the United States. And there's people at HHS who were just making sure he wouldn't get reelected. How dare they? And whatever you think of the vaccine was providing hope, which we were hoping for, that would allow the schools to open, work to happen again. And if the president commissioned warp speed, he deserved credit for it even today. Whatever you think of the vaccine, it would have affected the election.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I didn't take the vaccine, but I'm not against it. I didn't take it. But I think you're right. And remember the broader context. This was in the context of the 51 former intel officials back in October of 2020 putting out that false statement where they worked with the Biden campaign to put this statement out saying, oh, the Hunter Biden laptop is a Russian information operation. Baloney. The FBI had the laptop and knew it wasn't. So that information coupled with this holding back the good information that would have been public before the campaign, again, just underscores how crazy the left is and what they'll do to impact an election.
It also shows you the president doesn't need sycophants. He needs people that aren't going to turn on him at the FBI and at HHS. And that's what happened. He was in power, but yet people were working with him are actually working against him. You're in action this week. You're going to take on an investigation about what the heck is going on with storming this ICE facility in Newark, New Jersey. And also our ICE men and women also often feel under threat, and they're doing God's work, in my opinion. Your thoughts about and your approach with this committee.
Well, Jeff Van Drew, who's also from New Jersey, where this incident took place last week, Jeff Van Drew is going to be chairing our subcommittee. We're going to have a hearing on this next week because we think this is real. But you couple that with what these sanctuary cities are doing, with how they're making it tough for federal law enforcement to do their job, interfering with federal law enforcement and execution of the law. You got the judge in Milwaukee who let the bad guy out the back door when the good guys are coming in the front door to arrest him. I mean, all this is how crazy, again, the left has become. So we want to have a hearing where we talk about what happened in New Jersey last week, but also the broader concerns with ICE agents and what they're doing. They're enforcing the law. They're implementing and enforcing federal law, and local communities are making it tough on them. Local Democrat-run communities are making it tough on them.
And you do it Tuesday? You're doing it Tuesday?
Yeah, I believe it's next Tuesday or Wednesday, that hearing.
All right. Well, hopefully we carry that. It's going to be explosive, and we need some answers. You got a mayor that wants to be governor and wants some publicity, in my point of view. And that's why I think on some level he loved being arrested. He was practically begging for it. Congressman Jim Jordan, always in the eye of the storm. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian. Take care.
All right. Still to come. The Trump administration is escalating its battle with Harvard. Chris Rufo all over it. But first, California Governor Gavin Newsom is doing a sudden 360 or 180 on homelessness and illegals. Dr. Drew Pinsky is next. And be sure to catch me on tour. It's going to be fun going to Jim Jordan's place, Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, June 21st. In Dallas, Texas, August 23rd. It's going to be fantastic. And this is with Fox Nation. And in Richmond, Virginia, September 27th. Grab your tickets at BrianKilmeade.com. History, liberty, and laughs. All right. I'll give a hoot what you do, say, girl, I know. You a little too tame. I'll be shooting that shot like 2K, girl, I know. Tell him I'm next. Tell him you find a little... Won't the effect... So the Democratic Party has no leader. It seems like Gavin Newsom's hoping it could be him. The California governor's makeover on full display. One key change these days, he suddenly cares about clearing homeless encampments out, rolling out a new multi-billion-dollar plan to get people off the streets and into shelters.
The public is exhausted by the conversation around behavioral health, conversation around homelessness and the challenges that we face, not just here in California, but all across this country. We said we're not going to do business as usual, that we're going to do CEQA reforms. We're going to bring that sense of urgency. I'm not naive that this is stage one. This is the beginning of the end of the first phase process, and now the second phase process begins.
By the way, that was his goal when he was mayor, then lieutenant governor, then governor. Now suddenly he has an emergency on his hands. Joining us now to discuss this approach, he was shaking his head while I was reading the introduction and that soundbite. Board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew.
I can't.
Dr. Drew, great
Billions
to see
of dollars have been spent. Six people dying every day on the streets of Los Angeles. And he, when he was talking to Adam Carolla 7 years ago, went, Adam, the face of homelessness is a mother of three who lost her job. That's who gets on the streets. Well, I don't know what this addiction thing you're talking about. It's all my patients. It's all drug addiction. It's all serious mental illness. I've walked the streets many times in the areas where there's high homelessness. It's always the same thing. And you are not allowed to treat it. All they have to do, I can save the billions of dollars off the budget right now. All they have to do is say, you can't stay here. Come with us. We have a place for you. That's it.
What if they don't go? What if they say no?
Then move along.
Right.
Move along. They will go. You must ask addicts to do something or they will die. So that's it. All of their crazy policies, they miss the fact that addiction is a progressive illness that ends in death. They've missed that in all of their policies. And now, oh, my God, we're talking about addiction and mental illness now. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Thousands of people have died in the meantime. It's disgusting. And it shouldn't cost billions of dollars. All you got to do is change the law a little bit and we can go in and help these people.
And by the way, these are like mini cities that open up within cities.
Oh,
I mean, San
ridiculous.
Francisco's the encampments. And
of course, San Francisco.
Venice Beach has been ruined.
Oh, don't even
Santa
start.
Monica.
It's look, there's so much going on there. You don't even know that. But I don't know the time to get
but
into
does
the
he know? Did he know what he was doing?
Stupid or liar? I don't know which it is or both. I don't know. I suspect it's just whatever. It's politically expedient. Now this is politically expedient.
See,
before it was a mother of three with a lost her job who couldn't find a place to live, had to lie down on the sidewalk. That doesn't happen. Without serious mental illness. Everybody. There's tons of shelters. You can go if you're willing.
And Dr. Drew, not only do you know this, but you tried to fix this.
Oh, for
and
years.
You got this.
For
you got
years.
The Heisman every single time.
So
Heisman. What happened about a year ago is the Pacific Palisades burned to the ground and everything surrounding it. And almost nothing's been done to fix it. And this was predictable. Trump saw that nothing was being done. Bass is going to be recalled. There's too many regulations. No one can get out of anybody's way. Jamie Dimon went out to Los Angeles to see J.P. Morgan, his branch out there. And this is what he said about what he saw.
I changed the name of red tape to blue tape because it's the Democrats who seem to want more and more regulations. The government doesn't put, you know, top people who can run projects into management. It's too often politicians who were academics who've never run anything. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you should be saying, I want an efficient government.
Dr. Drew, you live out there.
I want a government. I want government to govern properly. Look, here's what you don't know, is that before you can rebuild your house, they have to rebuild the sewer system there. And the Coastal Commission is going to require a seawall be put in front of that sewer system to the cost of $2 million on average per piece of property. And until they do that, they can't do anything. So we just have that stymieing things, let alone the fact that they won't allow people to clear their plans. Only like 10 plans have gotten through out of those thousands of homes.
Think about Altadena. I mean,
that's where I live. I live right next to Altadena. I live in Pasadena. Now, Pasadena's been doing better. They did not have they're not under Los Angeles City. It is L.A. County. It is Pasadena City. It is Altadena. And you don't hear as much complaints about them because Catherine Barger has been doing the job of governing. And it makes a huge difference.
So I think there's a couple of things going on now with insurance, too. They wouldn't let anyone raise their rates, so these insurance companies pulled out. State Farm says, if you want us back in, we're going to have to raise rates. A lot of people go, really? I can't even rebuild my home, but I'm going to need insurance. So that's where the rubber hits the road.
It is so dysfunctional. You can't even imagine it. It's worse than you. However bad you think it is, it's worse, Brian. It's worse.
Lastly, the makeup of Gavin Newsom. Do you know him?
Do I know Gavin Newsom? I actually don't think I've ever met him. No.
But you've seen him in action.
I've seen him with Adam several times. I've seen him maneuvering all the time. It's just anything but governing.
So we're watching the third element of it. He wants to give illegal aliens Medi-Cal.
No, he already has.
Right.
They have it.
He did. And now he's saying to himself, wow, this is unaffordable. Okay. Wow, I can't balance my budget. So now, for now on, from here on in, new illegal immigrants will not get Medi-Cal.
Well, we're at $10 billion for funding what we have. I've been through this playbook before. I used to work in a county facility during the El Salvadorian Civil War. This exact same thing happened. And you know what they did? They diverted it all over to the counties, and then the county health care systems went bankrupt. They will do that again, I guarantee you. The other thing is, I heard one of our state budget, this is a couple of years ago, the head of the state budget commission said something that astonished me. She went, you know, we've got a budget deficit, and we're required to balance our budget in California, and we can't print money, but the federal government can, so they need to print it and give it to us. That is how they think in California. Do not let them get away with that.
I know, but
don't let them get away with it.
The state has
your
so
money, your tax dollars should not go to California.
The state has so much to offer, but they're doing the best they can to keep people out of it.
It's heartbreaking.
Dr. Drew, I've never seen you so fired up. It's great to see you.
You as well.
All right. I wish I could offer you some.
It's my jet lag. I was flying yesterday. I was in a different time zone.
I like it. You're a real person.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Drew.
Thanks, Ryan.
Up next, the media moments that really matter. Comedian Michael Loftus does the honors this week. He dug up all the tapes. I cannot wait to see what he has in that folder. Don't move. Now we got problems, and I don't think we can solve them. You made a really deep cut, and maybe now we got heaven.
I'm here with Chris Cunahan of...
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer live in New York. Former President Joe Biden has been diagnosed with a, quote, aggressive form of prostate cancer. The 82-year-old Biden was seen by his doctor last week after a prostate nodule was found. Mr. Biden and his family are reviewing treatment options as the cancer has spread to the bone. President Trump, former Vice President Kamala Harris, and several other politicians took to social media to wish the former president a speedy recovery. And the House Budget Committee is meeting right now on Capitol Hill to vote on President Trump's big, beautiful spending bill. Five GOP House members voted against the bill on Friday. Trump's bill increases defense spending and decreases educational funding. Speaker Johnson says he is confident he can get it passed. The bill would then go to the full chamber for vote later this week. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer, and I'm back to One Nation with Brian Kilmeade.
Media moments that matter.
Well, that guy's got a deep voice. It's everyone's favorite moment of the week. This week we gave the VCR, gave all my cords, I gave my TV guide, I have a subscription, to comedian Michael Loftus. Mike and I gave you the VCR tapes, too, and I don't have any more stock. I asked you to tape everything possible and tell me the three major stories that stood out above all. And by the way, Michael, it's always great to see you.
It's always great to see you, and thank you for the banker box after banker box of VHS tapes.
It was like a Back to the Future. Did you come up with anything?
I did. I have three things that I think are highly interesting.
Do you want to start with the first?
I do.
Right.
And so, you know what? We can call it A. We'll go in alphabetical order. The first one is Trump's trying to lower drug prices.
Great idea.
For everybody.
Sure.
Who could possibly have a problem with that?
I don't think anybody could.
Have you ever seen a show called The View?
Oh, no. Did you?
I did.
Really?
I watched.
Let's watch.
You know who issued an executive order aimed at lowering drug costs. We don't know which drugs, but lowering drug costs. And he blamed foreign countries for extorting drug companies by negotiating lower prices that stick the U.S. with the bill. Huh? And none of that made any sense by which drugs he's going to target or which insurance programs would be impacted. Because you see, if you're going to lower the price of the drugs, you got to first fix the broken insurance company.
You know what I had to do after I watched that clip? I had to flip over to Impractical Jokers and see if it wasn't some kind of crossover episode.
And you found out it was real.
Right. Like the Impractical. Now pretend like you've got a problem with lower drug prices.
Like she actually had no point.
No.
She had no point. The drugs are going to be lower.
Which drugs? Lower.
All of them.
Right.
I guess that's bad.
I know. Trump did say, he goes, I bet you some people are going to have a problem with lowering drug costs and putting the burden on foreign countries.
Yeah.
We found the five people that did it.
Whoo. Right. Boy, isn't that where, like, careers go to die?
I think so.
Like, has anybody hit the dismount from The View and, like, right. Wow, they're doing great. You know how they end up? Like Rosie O'Donnell.
What do you mean?
She used to be on The View.
I remember.
And now she's roaming around Ireland like some kind of angry ghost.
Wait a second. Did you get up in the morning and say to yourself, what's Rosie thinking?
Brian, that's what I do every morning.
Right.
Every morning I'm like, what's Rosie doing? Let's check in with her.
Right.
Things are getting crazy over there in the U.S. of A. I mean, they've been crazy for months now, right? At least 100 days. If he admits one more time that the election was rigged, I mean, why is he allowed to admit this over and over again and no one does anything about it? It's very obvious that it was. And he keeps saying it because he has like some form of dementia or something that he can't help but tell on himself for what he's done. You've been my shrink for so long. I've never abused any kind of med. I don't know why people would abuse Xanax because all it does is make you sleepy. So, I'm very disappointed that he wouldn't do it.
What's wrong with you? You picked the craziest clips. I can't even make any sense of that. So, what is her point?
I don't know. She's like living in Ireland, which ironically now, Rosie O'Donnell moves to Ireland, and then Conor McGregor's like, Ireland's off the rails. We got to do something about immigration.
Right.
He wants to kick Rosie out. She's just rambling.
Right.
She's just like an old Irish lady. And another thing about Xanax, my therapist, she is off the rails.
Right. And she's off. Is her point that Donald Trump's rigged the last election? Is that what she's saying?
Yes, which, as I understand, just by saying that out loud, you go to jail for 20 years.
I think at least 20 years.
That's probably why she waited until she was out of the country.
I bet you Liz Cheney's going to go to Ireland now and make a citizen's arrest. Make a non-citizen's arrest.
Liz Cheney moves in with Rosie O'Donnell. I'm going to watch that show every week.
I will not be able to turn it off. I see Gutfeld does another game show about it, as long as they can't watch the news. Now, I asked you to pick out three. Did you pick out a third topic?
Here's the third topic. Congress and the people that we send to D.C. are just working their tails
off.
What do
you mean?
They're working so hard, Brian.
How do you know this?
Sometimes they fall asleep. They're working so hard.
Look at this.
Right? Who's that?
You got Blake Moore, Debbie Dingell, and Jan Schakowsky all nodding off.
Jan has an excuse.
What do you mean?
Because they have to always spell their name.
Right.
You know, how do you spell that?
It's exhausting.
But Debbie Dingell, don't be a Debbie. She's not even trying to hide it. She's in full recliner mode.
Right.
Remember when you'd go to the dentist as a little kid, they had highlights for kids, and they had Goofus and Gallant, and you didn't want to be like Goofus. You don't want to be a Debbie Dingell.
Right. Because Debbie Dingell out of everyone, some of you just nod off, you see your head go down. But when you see your head go back, it's like, I'm falling asleep,
right?
I don't care who watches. That's
how many,
so exhausting.
How many times is she allowed to do that? I think we should have a new law for Congress and the Senate. You get caught three times, you're out.
Right.
If you're not allowed to do it on the clock at McDonald's, you're not allowed to do it in the House of Hours.
Well, I'll tell you what, Michael, thanks so much. I'm going to need my VCR back. I'm going to need my cords, and I'm going to need what's left of my tape stock.
Okay. You might want to check the tapes before you press play, because I might have done a little. Never mind. We'll figure it out.
That. Listen, if you want to see more of Michael, and why wouldn't you? He's performing at the MGA in Las Vegas at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club the May 26th to June 1st. Did you even know this?
I'm finding it out now, but I'll throw something together.
Right, and we're going to get you paid. This
oh,
time.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to make sure, because we are charging him for tickets. Michael, thanks so much. Great to see you.
It's great to be here, man.
He's leaving right after the show. He came here into the green room with his bag.
Next, the battle between Harvard and the president rages on. Chris Rufo is here to reveal how the university's discrimination machine is still going strong. Don't move.
You got this, buddy. You got it. During
President Garber taking a salary decrease is somehow a statement that they're changing their policies on anti-Semitism or racial discrimination. I don't think that does a whole lot to solve the problem. When you put other students at risk, their safety is of concern, and their Jewish students will tell us that they're even afraid to go to activities on campus. Yes, that it does bear investigation, and we're not taking anything off the table.
The battle rages on. The Trump administration cutting yet another $450 million in federal grants to Harvard University. And as you saw Linda McMahon there, she was reflecting on the fact that the president of the school says, I'm going to have to take a salary cut. On top of, by the way, they've already slashed $2.2 billion. Now, on the surface, the university makes it seem like it's adopting some measures the administration would like. Rebranding its DEI office, canceling its racially segregated graduation ceremonies, which, by the way, they were having them. But what's actually happening behind the scenes is something different. And no one knows that better than Chris Rufo. Am I, for my money, the architect and catalyst in America's School for Change, perhaps more responsible than anyone for the administration's actions to reform our Ivy Leagues? And joining us now is Chris Rufo himself. Chris, great to see you. I'm going to bring you to the battle with Harvard. They're suing back. What is the message from the administration that you would like to see everyone have everyone at home understand?
Look, the administration cannot back down on this. What happens at Harvard trickles down to universities all over the country. So this is the big symbolic fight. And the bottom line is this. As I've learned from my reporting earlier this week, Harvard has imposed systematic racial discrimination, not just against Jewish students on campus, but actually against white men in general. They are violating the Civil Rights Act. Any other university that was doing this would be shut down, defunded, stripped of their tax-exempt status. They shouldn't give Harvard any special advantage, any special exemption. What they're doing is wrong, and they have to pay a price.
And it's not just Harvard. It's Yale, Columbia, $400 million frozen. Yale still had anti-Semitic protests up until 2 weeks ago. And we don't know if they're going to sue back. But what is being uncovered now, you knew about. How did you know all this DEI and this anti-Americanism and this anti-Israeli, anti-Semitic behavior was happening? What clued you in?
Well, I've been reporting on these programs and policies for years. But what happened is after the October 7th terror attack against Israel, the universities just opened up, they ripped the mask off, and they showed the world exactly what they believe. These people are driven by racial animus, and in case of Israel and Hamas, by actual bloodlust. It's a disgusting ideology that's entrenched itself everywhere. And what I've tried to do over the last several months is really document through internal investigations, working with sources on the inside, that they've put a lot of these discriminatory policies in writing. They're violating American civil rights law brazenly. And they can't wiggle their way out by relying on their prestige, relying on their lawyers. My sources inside Harvard and inside Princeton say that administrators at those universities are terrified because they know that if the government finds out exactly what they've been doing, they'll pay not only a heavy price legally, civilly, but, you know, as Bloomberg reported earlier this week, they might even face criminal liability. This is the biggest educational scandal of the last 50 years. The Trump administration is leading the way. Secretary McMahon is taking bold action, and they shouldn't back down.
Well, a couple of things, too. The Supreme Court said forget affirmative action. It's in our rearview mirror. They are ignoring that at almost every elite institution, and that's what they're looking at now. President Trump tweeted this out. Governors and leadership reforms adopt merit-based hiring and admissions. It's a demand. Prioritize ideological diversity. Reform programs with records of anti-Semitism. Discontinue DEI. Implement mass bans. Discipline students' involvement in anti-Israel encampments and so on. The one thing I like to bring you to is another subplot. 3% of the faculty, and I think that's high, is conservative. How can you? I think that's a problem. But how can you mandate a diversity of political ideology? Do you have a plan for that?
Yeah, look, I don't think the federal government should be meddling in the curriculum, should be trying to handpick who's in, who's out. But what I think is a reasonable solution to this problem, which is really, you know, half of the country's philosophical disposition is being systematically filtered out of the universities, especially the elite universities. I think that the solution is for them to say, if you receive $500 million or $1 billion in public funding from taxpayers, you have to actually have some philosophical balance on the faculty. You can't simply promote partisan ideologies. You have to have a real civic debate with multiple sides being represented. And perhaps they can open a school for civic engagement like the Civitas Institute down at University of Texas, like the Hamilton Center at the University of Florida. These are bringing traditionalist, conservative, and civic-minded scholars onto campus. I think that that's something that's a real possibility for the Ivy League universities as well.
Chris, you're making great gains, and I tell you, almost every legal person I talk to says Harvard's going to lose, and they're going to look to try to cut a deal because they know they're wrong, and they've been exposed through their anti-Semitism. It opened up the Pandora's box to all their other problems. Chris, thanks so much for what you do, and I hope you get the credit you deserve.
Thank you.
All right, up next, your sneak peek of the week ahead. And don't forget, follow me on social media, and here's how. You can go at Kilmeade on whether it's Rumble or whether it's X or whether it's Facebook, and also at the Culper Club with locals. I'll meet you there. Don't move.
I'm Rob Lowe, and I host a game show where a trivia battle can earn contestants big bucks.
It is do or die.
I'm Greg Gutfeld, and I host a game show where I cut people off from the world for 90 days and have them guess what happened while they were gone.
Is that legal?
I have no idea.
The Floor, hosted by Rob Lowe, a new season coming this fall on Fox. And Greg Gutfeld's What Did I Miss? Streaming now on Fox Nation.
This delectable Nor Rum and Newton.
All right, now it's time for your sneak peek at the week ahead. First up, First Lady Melania Trump joins President Trump at a signing ceremony for the Take It Down Act. It's the criminalized deepfake porn. And the House Judiciary Subcommittee, we talked about this, on oversight, will be holding a hearing to examine threats against ICE operations, especially in Newark, New Jersey. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa will visit the Donald Trump at the White House, talk about some of the refugees we are taking. Also, Vice President J.D. Vance will be busy. He's giving the commencement address at the U.S. Naval Academy. He'll feel at home. After all, he is a Marine. And, of course, President Trump's big, beautiful bill is facing a Memorial Day deadline in the House. Sadly, that is it for us tonight. A reason to listen to the radio show all week, Monday's guest, Tim Kennedy, Trey Gowdy, Sean Davis, among the many. That's 9 to noon, BrianKilmeadeShow.com, if you have to watch online. Be sure to catch me on Fox and Friends, your favorite morning show, beginning at 6 o'clock. I might just jump in the shower, change outfits, wear my hair the same way, and you might see me shortly with two other fine people. Meanwhile, I have one message for you before we go. And it's the same as last week. It is to stay within yourself, America. That's all you can ask of yourself, to stay within.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.